One man went to Mo.
I'm actually begging you. The bounce is into philosophy.
Yes. Theories. Deep thinking.
This is not like the average episode. This is one you have to engage your mind.
Yep.
You have to engage your mind. You normally...
Do you know what this episode is for? Sapiosexuals.
It is. Medulla oblongata. That's what you have to engage. Yes. Do you understand? This is not your average. Because I just see people saying, oh, you guys make me laugh. No. This is for deep thinkers.
Deep.
Okay? Very, very deep. Very, if you have all those friends that are just into deep things, philosophy, all those ones.
Do you know what it is? This is an episode. So, all right, guys, enjoy.
Bye bye.
Are you into big boy?
I actually do want to travel around Nigeria. It's just a trip.
Go to good. One time I asked a question. The teacher said, is it time for questions? Can't you wait?
This is the podcast for you.
I mean, just a sidebar to Christian. Nobody's getting saved by the fact that you're not getting some.
Act of being an adult, grown upicity. What we're talking about.
I said what I said. The Unsolicited Opinions podcast starts now.
Who was prepared for this?
This season of I Said What I Said is brought to you by AfriChange. AfriChange is a fantastic platform you can use to send and receive money from Canada, Nigeria, and to tons of countries, over 50 countries, if I believe. But they have something special for our people in the UK.
Very, very special. So at the end of the month, AfriChange is launching their UK card, which means that you can send money from the UK to about 50 countries, and you can also receive money in the UK from these countries.
Yay.
And if you go to AfriChange.co.uk and you sign up to their waitlist, you can get a few perks. You'll be one of the first people to have access to the UK corridor. And you also get invited to the parties that they're having to launch them in different cities across the UK. We
fantastic.
Love a good bash.
Do you know what else we love? We love the discount
we love
over
discount.
Here.
We
so
love
if you use the discount code IASWIS,
yeah.
You get a discount when you send your money. I mean, who doesn't
it's
want...
just brilliant.
Who doesn't
brilliant.
Want...
You get a discount on your
such things.
Transfer.
This is why we love AfriChange, because AfriChange loves us.
That's what we do. That's
all right, guys. Enjoy the episode.
Hello, boys and girls.
Hello, all.
The bounce is running on half mast.
Yeah.
I'm out. You know, I've had like a stomach thing for years, and for like, I finally found the right like medical hack. For like 5 months, so nothing has happened to me until yesterday. It's like how my medical glory has gone to dust.
But you know, it's also triggered when you get more stressed.
I mean, sure, but you know, the life we're living, what else is there? Anyway, that's all. So, lovely times all around, anyways.
What do we do this weekend?
Itunu's wedding.
We went to a wedding, yes. And it was super fun.
Itunu and her best friend Vanessa have been on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah. Itunu got married and it was so much fun.
It was a blast.
It was absolutely fantastic.
I had a great time.
First of all, it was a very Lagos Island wedding.
It was a very, very Lagos Island wedding. Like, I loved it. When we got there, as in, we got there and it was now approaching. So we got there a bit earlier during the reception. As it was getting to the time for, you know, after party start, adults were not moving. They said, what? You want to rock off without me? No chance.
So the first thing that let me know is, and this is very, very Lagos Island. I know Yoruba people do it in general. But like, as we got into the hall, I saw like different tables had different coolers.
Yeah.
Like they weren't taking the risk of like, okay, sure, you have your own drinks. Like I'm happy for
like,
you.
Like I'm happy for you, but me
but
as
just
a guest,
in case,
too.
Just in
I
case,
saw
so.
Someone we know outside and I greeted her and she was just telling the babe that came, please carry my cooler. I just said, there's nothing I love more than this.
Yeah. And then there were also like, it was very like lively.
It was.
I think
it was very bubbly.
I really enjoy. I enjoy when you can tell like the families are having fun. I know some people like more like
chill, like,
quiet. But you like, could tell
like
family
a
was
relaxed vibe.
Yeah.
But these are popping people.
Yeah, you could tell both
and
families
so,
were having
yeah.
fun. Itunu's mom is a bit reserved, but she was so happy.
She was so happy.
Oh,
she
it
was
bouncing
so cute. Around. She was bouncing
she
around.
Was so, so
she
happy.
Was so happy.
Which was really nice. And her grandma too.
And all her friends were on form, like ready.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with weddings is, honestly, if like the bride, even forget bride and groom,
mm-hmm.
if the bridal party is not ready for
not
the rocks.
Bang.
There's actually nothing you can do. There's actually nothing you can do. If they don't carry, and these ones, no. They were.
It's the same thing about having friends and showing up for people that were saying before. Itunu had at least 20 friends that flew into the country.
Yep.
And it wasn't just people that were part of the bridal party.
No, it wasn't even people that I would say, like, they would consider themselves even super close. It was just more of a thing of, no, but it's Itunu's wedding.
Yeah. And like, I like her.
Although, if I was going to fly for anybody's wedding, I like her, I'm going to go. I love that.
Yeah. So, tons of people, like, from out of state, out of the country. I don't know. It was just really, really nice to see. Like, they all came in and they were really happy. And it wasn't, and you didn't get the vibe that, you know, sometimes when people make a sacrifice for you and it becomes almost burdensome.
Like, I came all the way for you. It wasn't that vibe. You have to personally cater
to me and you have to come a million times and be like, are you okay? Is everything? It just felt really, really bubbly and really, really fun. And I had too good a time, honestly. Like, I really, I think it's getting a bit crazy. Fun fact, between the wedding on Saturday, today is Tuesday, if you can be, I've received two more. I've gotten one save the date. But at least I already knew about that one.
Yeah, I got two save
the date. I got a save the date and I got like a link to a wedding website. Yeah. I said,
wow, so first to marry.
First or last?
That's a game that we're playing now.
Last
because
is a big fool.
I thought that coming into this year, I already knew of the events.
All the weddings.
Yeah. More things are cropping up. People are proposing yesterday getting married. I said before the year.
But you know, I'm a big fan of that.
Before the year ends, and I just said congrats to someone. They just said, oh, so the date is. I said, what do you mean this year?
No, I 100%.
He just said, yeah. The date is October, November.
I have a friend that I'm treating. I feel like I've got to the point where the next time I talk about it, he's going to yell at me. Because I have a very strong thing about like getting the stuff that needs to get done.
Yeah.
So like court, going to court, sign what you need to sign. It doesn't have to be a whole
like the hoopla. Rest is now.
The rest you guys can take your time to do. Because I feel like also the longer you take for some of those things, the more you now feel like you have to do
something. The more it drags.
And the more it drags, the more you feel like you don't want people to say, oh, so you waited all this time.
And then you just kind of did it in your house. Yeah.
So I keep saying this all the time.
Do you think you'll just do the call, like, hullabaloo? Because I went to a really... I've only been to one court. Like, I wasn't a witness, obviously, inside the court. Mm-hmm. But they did it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it. They did, like, a big
brunch.
That's what I want. And it was lovely.
Not 100%
but it was, like,
what I would
40
want.
People.
100%
nice
what I would
brunch,
want.
Court, everything.
You know, I keep saying this, and you guys keep laughing at me, that no, more, but more then, I don't want...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, this was just the precursor.
No, I know. What I'm saying is, I feel like it's a good thing to do, particularly if you and your partner find it difficult to agree on a lot of other things.
It's better together.
So start with the brunch thing or the small, even if you don't even do, in fact, you know what? In the words of a duke, fry puff puff. Fry puff puff for your friends that come. But I think I like that a lot. Also, something I was thinking about recently, I would like to see a lot more, because we're Nigerians, so we like really extravagant things. I would like to see a lot more celebrations of like budget-conscious weddings.
Mm.
No, because a lot of people feel really bad that they can't. Because the reality is that
you can't
most
really
people can't
afford,
really afford
you
it.
Can't afford the
so
type
what
of
I mean
wedding
is,
that a lot of people
what
have.
I mean is by... So there's another thing where...
But also, that I don't know, Sha. Let me tell you why
I disagree. So what I mean about... What I mean is that just because it's budget-friendly doesn't mean it's not tasteful.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Where so I disagree
it's
100%
is 100% tasteful.
You just have to do different things.
But a lot of people don't, because always, so you know what I think about is what you see that sometimes
you know.
So a lot of people feel really, really bad. And this is not just about weddings. It's also like birthday parties,
everything.
Interior decor, everything. Sometimes people feel like, because they haven't seen a lot of stuff where it's tasteful and it's small, but it's also like just more affordable. They feel like, no, I have to save for like 2 years. And you
before
actually
I can
don't.
Do this.
You can do something quite nice, but a lot of it is that it goes on, it's super under the radar because it seems a bit more boring. I don't think so.
I also think, Sha, that we might also be insulated by our own experience. So I went to somebody that used to work for me before. They did it like they did it very small. And then, but I remember when she was inviting me, she said, you know, this is not like all these weddings you go for. But let me tell you, I got there. And so the way she had said it, it was almost as if, you know, maybe they just put the plastic chair inside her. I mean, obviously I was going, so like, So, you know, me, I'm down for a good time. Always. I don't actually really mind.
Always, always.
I don't really mind what situation is. I was like, okay, there'll be food at me. Do you get? There'll be music.
You guys, fun fact, for Kemi was the guest of honor. Thank you. Wedding.
I say you people will be there. Abby, you'll be there. I will be there as the chair lady of the day. We're going to have a great time. Mm-hmm. And you know, so in my mind, I was like, oh, okay. I told her, I said, all this one you're saying is for a pocket. I didn't dress down. I didn't do anything. I said, that's a business. This is a wedding. We're in Lagos.
Yeah.
And I got there. And do you know the thing? The way she said this was as if, oh, maybe they just got like a little canopy and nothing was. I said, it was small, but I was like, excuse me.
It reminds me of, I went for an event. It was a small event. And just the Yoruba auntie in me, I was kind of looking around. And I realized that a lot of the heavy decor was fairy lights and mood lighting.
That's in fact, the way they had done this one, I loved it because they used like an iridescent adhesive to do the draping. And so it was, they just used fabric, but there was fabric all over the place. But it wasn't like super fancy fabric. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was adhesive. It was just normal tie and dye fabric, which obviously they could afford, but it looked so nice.
That's why I said that. I agree with you. Maybe it's just like what insulated by our experience. But I would like to see it a bit more.
At the end of the day, they still had small chops. They had
food, they had DJ.
There were drinks. There was a DJ. So, and I now told her, like, after the wedding that, do you know that if you didn't yam me all these plenty things about, oh, it's not, I would, like, it's because you
put
said
something
it.
In my mind. Yeah.
If I had just gotten there, it would have just been, oh, this is lovely. Like, a smaller wedding and we move. But she was already in her mind, like, oh, this is not a big Lagos wedding. And I was like, I can't lie to you. If you didn't yam me this thing about, oh, you did spend any money, I would not have said a word because it was lovely. It really was just a great time. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know.
I just still insist that it would be nice some of the wedding pages,
to do other things that are not like the big 1,000 person.
Because even when I was, so my mom was asking me a question about a wedding, and what really bothered her was my deep lack of interest in like a lot of things.
The details.
I was like, I don't know. I don't like, to me, if we get there, there's food, there's drinks, there's fun. Terribly AC.
When we go to the wedding, we're greeting people. Jola just said, I'm coming. I said, where's Jola? We just saw her in the corner, sat in front of the AC.
No.
You know, so the thing is, I don't know. I guess people should try. But Misha, let me not lie to you guys.
No, you've always
you guys already know. If I don't block the road, I've not even started. See, that's why my desire is to live in such a place that the whole road, I can block it. Cannot be here. How they used to do it before, that as in the whole, once you're arriving like this, you know that there's a problem up ahead. Do you know what I mean? So this is the kind of, like, you know, those really irritating Saturdays where there's a corner of VIA passing and everywhere is blocked because there's like one or two events. That's what I want. The hallmark of my wedding should be that you cannot pass anywhere. Everywhere is just full. Everywhere is packed. So by the grace of God, the money will also follow for that. But, you know, I see what you mean, Sha.
Yeah. And then I did a very, quite frankly, semi-whack Cinco de Mayo. Like, I was very excited. I wanted to eat,
you had Mexican
tacos and drink margaritas. And because normally I like the place, I won't put them on too much blast. But I went somewhere on Sunday and the service was so shit.
Really?
Oh my God.
Even on Cinco de Mayo,
it
was for them.
Hot trash. So the staff were just, you know, it's like they were moving in slow motion. I don't know, not just moving in slow motion, but there was a very, like, you know, the problem with all those, like, open kitchen where you can see.
So you can see.
So it's like somebody will walk this way, say no, and then they'll turn. And I'm just like, what the hell is happening here? And you know, like, there was stuff like, oh, in this Lagos heat, they were like, oh, we don't have cold drinks, but we can give you a cup of ice. It's like,
I don't understand how a restaurant.
Then we'll ask for a drink, and it was 3:00 in the afternoon, and they were like, oh, this drink has finished. Will you like this? And I'm just like, guys, like, don't fuck up my vibe now. Like, you're fucking with the vibe. So it was just very, very jaga-jaga. Also, sorry, before we move on, one thing I really enjoyed is, Itunu is like a businesswoman. She does business, you know. And so her staff were at the wedding.
Oh my God. They were not at the wedding. They were not at the wedding. At a point, I felt like we had to move aside.
It was their wedding.
They had
a good time.
Like, they had their own, like, Ashebi. Mm-hmm. They had a great time. And it was lovely to see, because the truth is, a lot of people cannot pull it off.
No.
Like, your staff will not be happily, you know, excited, and they had a great, like, yeah, you could tell they were there.
Yeah,
I said one time there was a small shop street passing, and I saw someone in like the demo space I should be coming past. So I just said, "Oh, can I?" She said, no, sorry, ma, sorry, please. This is for also, this for demo space." I said, "Please, no, don't worry. I did a mistake. I did a huge mistake." Yeah. So no, they had a great time. And I loved really when seeing that.
So they took a group. I actually have it on my phone. I took a picture of them with her and her husband. And I just thought it was so cute. And I looked at it and I met Itunu through Twitter. And I started following her in 2010 or something. Those of you who know, Juice Gal. If you know, you know. And I started following her then ages ago, just before I got into university. And she'd always talked about like business she wants to do and how she wants to do the business. And I was looking yesterday and I was like, man, my friend has like 30 staff. This is so crazy to me. She has the thing she said she was going to do.
She's doing it.
And I just thought it was really, really cool and really, really nice to see like that. And then also people she's done business with, people she supplied fabric to, or people who have become like loyal spa customers and stuff. Really, really great. It was really nice. But yeah, it was a nice weekend.
I really enjoyed it because it was kind of like a testament of like showing up.
Yeah.
Everybody was just
I
loved it.
I wasn't confused because Itunu will show up. Yeah. I've seen it multiple times. Like, she shows up for her friends. She does her bits.
I was actually talking to someone who came in and he was saying, like him and his wife are just like, okay, but one of us has to go because if it's the other way around, obviously she moves.
Yeah.
You know, so why not? And I really like, as in, I would love for that to be my thing in life.
Okay, so we can talk a little bit about that because, you know, Twitter handle, there was a tweet about the sweetest thing your friends have ever done for you. And there were so many amazing things. But I saw a train of thought a couple of times, which was like, oh, you know, it was very like, woe is me. I've never had good experiences. Oh, I wish I had good friends. And you know what I realized? Like, people are thieves. Walai. Because the thing is, nobody wants to... everybody wants, like, the treatment. Nobody wants to give it. Friendship is a series...
of showing up.
Of not just showing off, but inconveniences.
It is.
It and is literally is, just
when people say showing off, I think they think it's like this, like, enjoyable friendship. Let me tell you what it means to show up for your friend. It means to inconvenience your damn self all the time.
Yeah.
And be happy about it. That's literally the end. Look, if you like boil friendship down into like its consummate part, if you remove showing up, that's your acquaintance. You don't have anything.
Yep.
You are just gisting. You are going for drinks. Once you somebody is your friend, at some point or the other,
you must be inconvenienced. There's a friendship group I really adore. And one of the things I realized, because I used to be like, why do I like them so much. And a big thing I found was that when the group started expanding, now they started getting married, started having kids, in order to maintain the friendship, it was very clear that at some point there was like a conscious decision to be like, if I want to see my friend or maintain this friendship, I have to be of use to this friend. So in that friendship group in particular, you see things like, there's one of them I'm closest to. And so she would say stuff like, She's close to my... Her office is close to my house. Sometimes she would come to my house and she'd say stuff like, oh no, I'm going to pick up XYZ's kids from school.
And you're thinking, what?
I want you to just keep in mind, not that her children go to that school. Not that. It's just that... And they're close enough that the school...
The school knows who she is
and that's an... Like, she's allowed to... But she's not the only one. There are like three or four of them that can do that. That, oh, I'm going to pick my friend's children from school and drop them off. Now, when I was asking a bit more, she's like, oh, no, it's not like the distance between her office to their school is maybe 6 minutes. So it makes sense. And then from her, Isha, like, she said if she gets the kids to hustle, it's like a 30-minute round trip. So it's no skin off her nose. Actually, I kept thinking, I was like, it's skin off.
It's plenty.
It's very skillful.
Imagine me in my office. I'm relaxing or like I'm doing work or something and I'm just, it's 1:32 and I'm just like, oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, it's deeply skillful.
These are not my children.
and it's stuff like that. It's just, but the thing I was trying to say is generally a lot of people see the perks, like the fun bits, and they love that. But, you know, it's a series of inconveniences. It's having like really weird conversations and lending money and helping with their parents and, you know, just all sorts of stuff. I mean, some of the things people are saying, where you're the one on the receiving end, when you're saying it is nice. So I saw one where someone said one of her parents had passed and she was abroad, I believe. And so her friends put together money for one person to be able to go and be with her. And then they gave that person money also so that like they would buy her groceries and blah, 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 blah. And I kept thinking, huh, what you're saying, it is sweet. But the friends that had to remove the money from their pockets,
it's not that
it
sweet.
Wasn't sweet at the time. Yes, they love their friend, but it's inconvenient. Even like all the things I was reading, I'm sure everybody reading that thing is just like, ah, I want my friends to do for me too. Okay, will you do back?
And the thing is, it's easy to do when your friends are natural. Like, if the natural presumption of your friendship is we're showing up for each other, then you don't count the score.
Yeah.
When you start counting the score, is when you know that.
Oh, because it can never be balanced.
Yeah. Though.
And the thing is that
balance is unattainable.
No, what I mean is that because if you're counting it, that means you care.
Yeah, that means you care.
So you're not be saying, okay, how come when it was her turn, we went to slow, it reached my turn. You guys did house potluck. Why? No, I'm being serious. Like, it's
you
things
guys
like that.
Sure, that's who you are. And keep it low key.
Yeah, so I think it's just, you know, things like that. I really do think when we talk about friendship, also, I saw something. I think it was Okpe that she said, yes, we talk. She was like, you know, there's some people that will say, oh my God, I have no friends. People don't like me, blah, blah, blah. You now shook your head there. You see why people don't like them. No, you go ahead. You are the special one. You're the one that said, no, you know, I want to, you know, I'm sure this person, you want to use yourself to do experiment. You run, the way you run, the way you run in is how you run out.
Honestly, the day I realized this about friendship, I said, we can't be this many.
Exactly.
No, I actually said that. I said, let me not lie. We cannot
and
be this many.
And the thing is, I'm a great acquaintance too, and that's okay.
Yeah, like, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I've fallen into the trap of always trying to make my acquaintances my friends.
Yeah.
And I've realized now that I actually don't have the energy.
Yeah,
it's
and
fine.
Even like, I was thinking about, because you know, I've said this for the last like 2 weeks. I really want to. And it was asking like, you can have a DMC with your acquaintance.
You can
have this deep, meaningful conversation. But being a friend is just very, very different. And that's okay. You can be friendly with a lot of people. But that doesn't mean like they're your friend. Because it takes a lot. So in the last like months, I've been like, okay, right.
This is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
And it's actually not that straightforward.
It is.
There's no other way to explain it.
Yeah.
It's just not that straightforward at all. And it's what it is. You can't learn anything about it.
Yeah. And some people that, again, like I said, being a good acquaintance is also a bit, it's something to keep up with, but it's nowhere near the same amount of investments.
Like someone just messaged me, one of my friends, and they were like, oh, they're coming to Lagos, this, and I just have to sort out like one or two things. And again, it's not a big deal, but it's just like, I just know that I have to do it. And it's just, so they didn't ask me, but I don't know, you just know. And it's inconvenient, but I'm just like, okay, but what else, like, what is the alternative option? So let them get here and be having a raggedy experience. It's just not possible.
Or just making sure that there's like, I'm coming to Lagos. Let me know when you get here. And I'm coming to Lagos. Like, oh, where are you staying?
Exactly.
What are you doing?
Exactly.
Is it a work thing? Is there anything I can help with? Those are two very different. And you have fun with both of them. But it's just a different level of investment or interest. Something else I was about to say and I forgot.
Super interesting. Let me tell you something else I've been thinking about. I was talking to someone about this yesterday, discontentment. Do you know that I think that like the order of like the day for a lot of us is like how do I explain this? Me and someone were talking about this yesterday, and we're like, the problem is, it's almost as if the way our lives are now are set up for like a baseline level of discontentment.
Okay. Sorry, Teresa, can you write that down? I want us to do some dilemmas.
Okay.
Because that's like a serious.
It's very serious.
All right. So I've gone to some of our earlier dilemmas. I've gone back to the top. And this first person is called Miss Living on a Prayer.
Okay.
Who says, hi, crazy, beautiful ladies. Is you that is Thank crazy? You. Is you that is crazy?
I like the beautiful. No, but what if it's crazy beautiful? No,
I love it.
Beautiful?
I know, I love it. No, she put comma. Oh. no, but I, you know, I embrace my crazy. That ain't nothing to me. Greetings all the way from South Africa. Jambo. Okay, no, that's Kenya.
My dear, please. Please.
What's their own Asante Sana?
I'm not getting involved in this.
Okay, African greeting to you.
Sina Jambo.
I love the podcast and I wish you continuous success and growth.
Amen. Thank you so much.
I'm the last born, but the first daughter of a Ghanaian family, but pretty much the financial backbone of said family, and it's weighing on me heavily. I'm a working 27-year-old. My dad, who on his own gives me a lot of anxiety, but that's another story, is retired, living alone in another province. My mother and older brother moved in with me after my dad retired almost 2 years ago, claiming they're coming to visit and have never left. My mom is in her mid-60s and has not worked in a decade, while my brother is just starting to get his life together. He works, but doesn't earn enough to support himself fully. All that to say is I'm the main breadwinner. I pay for pretty much everything. We live in quite an expensive city as well. So I feel alone and very anxious all the time as everything is on me. I'm constantly vacillating between feelings of guilt and frustration. I don't consider us a close family, but we're forced to live together due to these circumstances. My mom and brother are constantly screaming at each other, and I feel deeply uncomfortable in my own home and feel very behind compared to my peers because of the black tax I have to bear. Don't get me wrong, I really do love my family, but I feel like our situation is untenable. I have pretty much involuntarily taken up the role of my father, and I feel myself growing deeply resentful and angry at my family each passing day. But until my mom and brother situation changes, there's nothing I can do. Please, do you have any advice?
Sorry, recount the mother and brother thing again at the top.
Her mom has been retired for a decade. Okay. Her brother is just starting to get his life together. Yes. They moved in with her 2 years ago, claiming they were coming for a visit, but they just never left.
Right. Okay, she said, what should she do?
Yes, no.
You see that backbone? She should break it. She should break.
But how?
What I mean is, right now, the problem is that she's carrying everybody on her back. She should fall down.
Okay, okay, yes. But there's one thing, sorry, I have to ask. I don't know what your family situation is, but your dad, she said her dad lives in another province. He happens to be retired, but he lives in another province. And now her mom and brother live with her.
Yes. But her dad is, like, she's still
backing
everybody.
Her dad is retired
everybody.
And living in another province. And she lives in a more expensive city, but her mom and brother are with her.
Yeah. Again, I really mean it. The problem is that you have strength to carry everybody on your back. Mm-hmm. You need to fall down. Okay? You need to fall down. And everybody needs to see you visibly in a cast. In a cast such that you can only carry minimal load at any given time. I'm very serious. I don't mean that you should like cut everybody off or anything dramatic like that. You literally need to fall down and be injured for Fair the time enough. Being. You do. You need the injury time. And when you're injured, let's see how everybody wants to survive.
Yeah, I mean, I think you
because
have
you
to
know,
have...
when you don't have to do anything, mm-hmm. it's always very easy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It really... When you know that, you see this person there. There's nobody that they're not really willing to carry for me.
Yeah.
Like, they will not let me fall down.
I think a big thing for me is the fact that your mom and your brother have such an acrimonious relationship that they are making your house uncomfortable for you. And it's one thing to financially be under stress, but it's another thing to emotionally be under stress.
And then you're under just...
Yeah.
Bad vibes.
So we've spoken about this thing before. I have a feeling that what makes black tax even more unbearable is the when people don't have the emotional, you haven't made the emotional investment
to earn withdraw all
so
this black tax.
It feels even worse because she said she loves her family, but they're not that close.
Yeah.
And so everything she's giving feels
like they wouldn't be together if not for like this exact
thing. It feels even more painful. And it's something that to think about. Again, family is also about sacrifice and duty.
Sure.
But I do feel that we keep, particularly in like African communities, we keep having the same conversation that, and everybody likes to act a bit obtuse. But beyond duty, there is relationship. And so for instance, if she was, it's one thing to be able to send money. And once you send the money, not much can be done after that. But when they live in the house with you,
you have to be there. And then just, they're coming up with stuff.
Yes.
And then they're fighting.
And then it's things like, you feel bad treating yourself. Even if it's a small thing, you want to come home with ice cream, you know, but you just told them you don't have money. So that becomes a thing. You want to sleep in. Your friends want to go out. So you want to dress up and go out with them. But your mom and your brother are in your space.
And they're looking at you. I know that to do this, you have to say like no or, you know, reduce something
else
on them.
I think another thing is like there's something about being a martyr that's so attractive, but only because we have an imaginary reward for it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't say, people that are benefiting from your grin and beer, don't want to hear how difficult it is for you. Because then they don't have to do anything about it.
Can I tell you what it is? The martyr situation is very attractive in a circumstance where because I've seen like a black tax situation that I know someone that is in. But they're almost, I don't know how to say this without sounding, actually, when have I been afraid to sound somehow? It's somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling them that, you know, your problem is that, okay, yes, you don't want to be burdened, but you die for this validation.
Mm.
But they have a family that worships the ground that they walk on. Because they are funding everything, plus daddy, plus mommy, everybody's so grateful, so supportive, so kind. Like, please leave him alone. You know, he's the one. Everybody in his family.
They are moving accordingly.
Everybody bends to his will. Everybody is trying to make sure that because he's paying for everything, he is not inconvenienced. Do you know that kind of thing? Like, they will never call him on, I need you to please help me. Like, do their parents send their children?
They will never
send him. If they send him, one of his siblings will stand up and say, please, no, let me. And then, so whenever he complains, I'm like, yeah, but the problem is that if we're really honest, you love this shit. Not the fact that you're responsible for everything.
But what comes with it?
You love the way that they, like, as in, you are obsessed. If this validation went away,
you would have a problem.
You will not cope.
Yeah, that's one thing. But I mean,
so, but in the case where she's not that, the will to be a martyr is just.
No, what I mean is that there's also this thing about like the way we are raised to feel like there is a reward in and of itself of being a martyr.
Sure.
Like that, like, I'm really trying.
Yeah.
Even without the thank you, there's some, like, we're raised to think like there's something super noble about that.
It and like it's
and
honorable.
The thing is that the people that are benefiting from it need you to continue to believe that.
They do.
Because if you don't say to your mommy, do you know I'm so unhappy in the house? You and Kini are always fighting, always screaming, always shouting. So I don't feel comfortable at home. It doesn't feel nice. We've not even gone to the money part.
Even that one.
Do you know that if I was living with let's say there are three of us. Let's say me, FK, and one of our other friends were living in Faye Kemi's house. And Faye Kemi comes home one day and says, do you know how upsetting it is that every time I come home, there's an
argument.
You guys
are fighting.
You guys are arguing about something. You're screaming, you're shouting. You're giving each other the cold shoulder. You know, we can't chill because every other week you guys are... I will be so embarrassed.
Yeah.
I'll be so embarrassed that inside somebody else's space...
I'm making them uncomfortable.
Before we even get to the fact that Faye Kemi now comes and says one day, now what for you people, though? Food I bought on Monday.
You finished
it. We all know that it's meant to last till Friday. Somehow, Wednesday, you people make sure that you left the back bread for me so that you won't say you finish it. Because I'm just using this as my brothers do that in a lot. They don't want to say that they're the ones that finish it. So they will leave the last. It is so irritating. But I didn't finish it now. Okay. So this last scoop of ice cream, this one half scoop, it was
supposed to be meant to manage.
And I think things like that, if you don't say them, then people enjoy it.
That's what I'm saying. I think she needs to say it.
Yep.
But honestly, I think more than that, she needs to take a minor, like if you are doing 100%, you need to do 80 or 70 because you are not coping. Like, let's say it was, you're not coping. And so if you are, you know, it's a different thing to be responsible for everybody. And it's like in a manageable way where I'm not crumbling. And so we can continue to do this. See, this babe, let me not lie to you, unless you like dial this thing back a little bit. And don't get me wrong, I completely agree. Like, there is a duty you owe to your family.
1,000,000%.
There's nothing you can do about
1,000,000%.
So I'm not saying you should kick them out. That's not like, I want us to be realistic. That's not what I'm saying. But at the same time, you cannot kill yourself. Like, you literally cannot kill yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to dial it back a little bit. And then you need to be a big babe. You sit down and talk.
Yeah. Say, you need to say how he's doing. Excuse me.
It's not that I'm not doing it again, but please, all of us have to start having sense.
Yeah, because there's a thing about growing with your responsibilities. So you're still the child, 1,000,000%. But the responsibilities you take on also afford you some privileges, which our parents were very, very happy to use. I'm the one paying in this house, or blah, 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 blah. Now, it's not about you manipulating, abusing, making your family comfortable. But you shouldn't actually be uncomfortable in a house you're paying for.
It
is deeply unfair. Okay? And then, you know, I don't know. I was telling a friend of mine yesterday that my mom, one thing I really enjoy now is my mom and I talk like friends. And I know she's doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
So she'll just say, Jola, what do you think of this thing? Kiloro. And sometimes when I try to say, I'm not sure. She said, no, tell me what you think. And then we'll discuss it. And I realized that she takes stuff I'm saying on board and gives me feedback. You have to develop. Mommy, your husband is not here.
Yeah.
What's happening now?
Like, what's your people's plan?
What's going on? Because you didn't give me, is it that
context of why are you guys deeply unhappy?
Is your dad polygamous? Is it because... If daddy is living on his retirement funds and taking care of only himself, it's not fair that it's now
not fair,
you.
Yes,
that he's taking on the rest of the burden now. It's not
fair. He's also taking advantage of the fact that he knows she's ready to
in another city. No. Okay, up next, we have sugar daddy denial.
Good.
Oh, also, sorry, Kwele, baby, but you need to talk.
Yeah.
Up next, we have sugar daddy denial.
And you see, this is why, and God knows who he puts in all sorts of situations because, I got two shouts.
Sugar Daddy Denial says, hi ladies, what's up? This has been my favorite season so far. Props to you guys for staying interesting and extremely charming. I've decided to come forward with my little question. I've been married for 2 years. However, I met an older guy, roughly 20 years older than me, last year at church, and we became acquaintances. I don't know much about him, except that he's really kind and preaches quite a bit to me. I was complaining about the economy one day, and he sent me 2,000,000 naira. He'd sent me, the most money he'd sent me before that was only the one time, and it was 10K on my birthday. Since that day, he sent me expensive clothes, perfume, and gifts that are in total worth way more than said 2,000,000 naira. He even bought me my dream wig of 700K.
Okay.
He has said that he only wants me to be happy and doesn't have any intentions towards me. In fact, he says he sees me as a daughter.
Mm.
I've been low-key hiding the things he gives me from my husband. And I haven't told my friends because I feel guilty for some reason, even though I don't flirt with him. He's saying he even wants to send me and my friends on a quick girls trip to enjoy ourselves. And look, you, me, I want to go. But to do that, I have to tell my husband everything. And I'm worried about how that conversation will go.
Okay, she's worried.
So what do you guys think? Is it really not a big deal and I'm overthinking it? Or am I in denial of having a sugar daddy?
I don't know.
You need to adjust your mic.
You're a thief. I want to put it to you clearly that, you know, it's been a while we've had an outright criminal write in, but here we have a dangerous criminal, actually, is what we have here. No, because you're a liar and a thief. I just want to advise you. And you know the thing, you know. And so, what the question she asked us is that, do we think it's okay?
Do you know what
is that what she said?
I don't think she should be asking us. I need to say, baby. Then, as you say, baby, just remove all the clothes from your wardrobe he has bought you. Remove the wig. Remove the jewelry. Sure. In fact, print the account balance before and after. Put everything. And say, what if I told you somebody bought all these things for me? Just one person.
And not just one person.
One 20-year-old.
God bless.
20-year gap man.
Do you know the thing? So, before we get back to like the more serious thing, I want to diverge into nonsense. And I want to say that because, you know, sometimes people say we don't take things seriously.
You don't
okay,
mean
good. When is not Dr. Phil? Do you know what I like? What could you expect? Now, I'm going to come back to it because, like, as I said before, this babe is a criminal. So I don't want us to leave that. But can I just say that don't people know how to play the game? This girl, apart from being a criminal, sorry to say, my good sis, you are a clown. You know why? You're not a serious person. And I'm not saying you're not a serious person only because you're a thief. I'm saying you're not a serious person because even in the theft, you don't know how to do it properly. What are you talking about? This kind of person now, you'd have had him in your house for dinner.
Share with big uncle. As a friend.
Big bro. Big Egbon. Bro J. Egbon. Baba like, but in fact, you even yarn him
no,
that.
No, it's not Egbon. 20 years, that's daddy.
Thank you. When you tell him that, Egbon, see you. As you're buying me this week, you buy my husband. Do you know what I mean? You buy my husband one or two. On his own birthday, too, you declare. Yes, on his own birthday, you buy him a light, just a light one, but something like, let him feel like you're a friend of the family. Yeah, do you get you understand what I'm saying? They're a friend of the
because
family.
We are all family in
if
Christ.
If you even have like a small child, let him declare for the baby too. Do you get? Oh, see, this baby's a clown. He would have bought lace for our mommy. I'm telling you, if you want to do this the kind of thing, you have to yarn this man that, look, what do you really want here? Okay, you want to be my school father? That because that's clearly this is the pure school father lamba. It's like when we're in secondary school now, you say somebody's your school father, meanwhile you're behind this stage with him doing what? Is that where they do mentorship?
He has never helped you do your homework for one day.
For one day, but you people are in the corner who to need your school. So I don't have a problem. You want to be her school father, fine. You want to be her mentor. Okay? No problem. But please, let us be approaching things with vim and sense. You say you don't want your husband, she just wants you to be happy. Mm-hmm. Okay, if he wants you to be happy, he should let your husband be happy as well.
Yes, now.
It's not a big deal.
You guys are one. How will you be happy if your husband is not happy?
What does your husband like? You know, okay, yeah. I don't know what the hell he likes, but it will be something, look, it won't be something of 2 million, but just something to show that, this guy is not just generous as it to my babe. He just really likes us. Your husband will not be thinking he really likes us.
Yeah, another thing, just generally. So, you know you fucked up once your partner, you can't tell your partner something.
Thank like you.
If Fakemi gave me money, I would tell my partner.
I would say it immediately.
Like, immediately, like, I do know Fakemi. In fact, I have friends, this is my birthday that passed. Somebody said, immediately send me the money. Fakemi was there, I told her. I said, Fakemi, do you know that this person gave me this amount of money? She said, really? I said, yes. Isn't that really kind?
Because what am I hiding? Like,
because why are you hiding?
What am I hiding?
You know the reason you're keeping quiet and hiding things. That's the first thing. Second thing is, you know this thing of Nigerians are very funny. Nigerian women especially. Okay, when we say he sent me money, did he guess your account number?
Thank you.
Can I just say,
do you know when they
do
say,
do they guess your account number?
When I say people are two fools, that he started with 10K, two big fools. look at these two nincompoops. Because also, okay, her dream week, how did he know?
So you see that what I said? Did
you
he guess?
She said, oh, he bought me her dream.
No, just fake. Let me tell you what happened.
Maybe
he just said, I'm looking at your face.
What's your looking like?
Raw hair. Raw.
24 inches.
I'm telling you. That's what he said. I'm looking at your face.
Both traits. You look like.
He said, body wave. That's what will fit you. And she just said, how do you know? That's my dream.
Well, or what? Because I want us to be serious. What the hell do you mean he bought your dream? Okay, where did he see the wig? Where do you see? Like, I hate rubbish, and I hate people with intent to deceit that don't even want to deceive you very well. Because personally, for me, if you're going to lie to me, I want you to put your back into it.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be such a web of lies that me myself, I'm like, low-key, you know what?
Fair
enough. I say, you know what? This is a good one. You can't say it out loud, though, but you know when you're like...
No, but I've said that too.
This is a good one. Because
I said that to my friend
before. If you're going to take me for a fool...
Take me for a big
fool. Take me for a big fool. Not like a light... Look at this rubbish that we're discussing here.
Small idiot.
Do you get it? Not like a small baby fool. If you're going to take me for a fool, I want to take me for the biggest fool. Okay? Go for gold. Go for gold. Take me for a star fool. Look at this nonsense playground stupid boy rubbish that you want to use your husband to do. Meanwhile, if you think your husband has not noticed, I think you're also a clown. Because your husband now that saw, okay, maybe he actually, to be fair,
he might not.
Men don't know the price of
it depends on the type of partner you have.
Yeah, you might not gauge.
Oh no, also she's probably lying about who gave her the things.
Yeah. So, no, so even she then,
some, no, she shares.
If I bring her, how will you know how much?
Yes. No, he doesn't know. But what I'm saying that if I bring her, today is fake Emmy, tomorrow is jury. Yeah, next week is all know. Different people are buying me.
And it's plausible that people can buy me things. My birthday or whatever. My birthday, I'll receive money. Yeah. You never know. Also, I'm not going to tell you that as in I got 2 million. What I want to say to you is that you have to decide if your marriage to work or not. No, I'm actually being dead serious. Let me not lie. Because you know what you're doing.
Greedy.
And you know what you're doing is rubbish.
Greedy.
Because, okay, let's ask the question. Let's say your husband bought a babe 700K a week.
Bro! As an Egbon to her.
As a school brother to the lady. What will you do? You see what I'm saying? Because this is a game of biggest fool. It is a game of biggest fool. Because imagine her husband. Imagine the story of her writing that. So what I want you to do, actually, I'm not going to answer the question. I want you to imagine us reading out a dilemma where the person said, my husband bought one girl a 700K week and they sent her 2 million for a birthday and they said he just wants her to be happy.
And that's, he also wants to send her and her friends on vacation.
Yeah, he also wants to send her and her friends on vacation. And if you go on a vacation, you will fall down. Let me just tell you.
And die.
I swear to God. You and your crazy friends, you will fall down. Do you know? But to be fair, will you go? Like as a friend? No. Not as the person involved.
I go to.
So, do you know what I mean? Like, come and hear me that somebody said, I'm saying your holiday. Am I inside your matrimony? We move, my dear. Where are we going? When are we coming back? When my husband asked me, I said, I didn't know, and I didn't know. She's so crafty.
Hey, boy, I thought it was you.
Ah!
You.
Ah, big bro. No. Had I known, I would have gotten off that plane immediately. So, look, all I have to say is that I think you should go ahead with what you're doing. And I think you should ruin your marriage only 2 years in. And let's see where, maybe this man will take you in as his daughter.
Yeah, so now we'll really know whether he was serious.
Do you know another thing she said that? Do you know, I actually love Lamba. She said he's always preaching to me. Okay, about what?
Gaspar.
About what? Which of the passages in the Bible
I'm sure it's Songs or Solomon.
Which of the passages in the Bible is including the week? No. You tell me.
I know which one it is.
What is your fellowship?
Fake me, I know which one it is. Is where is Genesis?
Oh yeah.
When Adam and Eve realized they were naked.
Okay, to cover. Fair enough.
Yes.
Fair enough. Because now that you people are into Bible study, maybe. I just think that this is an exercise in, you are playing with fire and you know.
You know now.
You know. And let me tell you the problem. It's already really bad because you've not told your husband all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, actually, no matter what you do from this point on, you fucked up. Because you're either going to tell him now, in which he's going to ask you about all he wants before, or you're not going to tell him now. And then this thing is going to carry on. And let me tell you something. This older man, he's not going to stop.
No, never.
And you too, you don't want him to stop.
You 100% do.
So it's just going to keep getting more and more complex and more grand until it's your husband that will end up asking you that.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on? Who? Also, it's a little weird, right, that you're suddenly close to this old man. I'm keeping it a box.
In a way that you're... So this is another
in
thing
In a way
about,
that you've excluded your husband.
Exactly.
You can meet anybody on its own, but if I'm married to someone and I have a close friend, don't understand the time I'm spending with them.
Yeah, even
that
saying
they will never jam the person that I'm with.
Yeah, even saying married, in our own situation, how many of our friends do we not know?
Exactly. If Jala comes and says, oh, she's close, so okay, when? When was that? When, like, you know, you've never mentioned them.
Nobody
has ever seen you with them.
On average, when my friends meet, they literally say, oh, you are.
Exactly.
So what do you mean your husband doesn't know this church brother? This church uncle.
Your Bible study.
No, my dear, Yusuf, you know now.
Yusuf, you know.
You know, don't worry.
I bid you the best of luck. I think you should carry on. And I think you should come back to write to us when you've entered problem with your husband. Go on the trip, Shogbo. This man that he want your happiness, Abby, and she's very happy. So I think you should continue. I think it's very good. You're not serious at all, but there's no problem.
Okay. Finally, we have Cassie, who says, "Hi guys, I got married at a young age, and almost half a decade along the line, I think I made a mistake. I was desperately trying to leave my father's house at all costs because the trauma was just too much. Story for another day. And I really loved this man and thought I could do life with him. Half a decade in and two children after, I'm beginning to rethink this decision. He is very emotionally and physically unavailable, doesn't support a single thing I do, wants to force me into the idea of the wife he has in his head. Plus, it's not like he spends on me because I have my own small change from side hustles. The truth is, I know I'll be fine if I decide to leave, and it may take some time, but I'll get back on my feet. How do I find the courage to leave? Thank you.
Well, is that really like a good time to say you want to leave your spouse? I don't think so.
It's not even about the time. I think it's the courage. So the thing is, from the beginning, and I remember thinking this when I was 24 or 25. I remember having a conversation with somebody pretty randomly. And she said, it's not even about love. I just need to leave the house. Oh, I remember this very vividly, right? We were talking about like dating and relationships and marriage. And she was asking me if I thought I could marry the person I was dating at the time. And I said, I remember saying something like, I don't know, but I think he's really kind. And like, I need to figure some things out before I can say that. Also, I'm 24. I remember saying, why young? Like, what are you talking about? And she was like, it's not even love. Like this one, she just needs, her parents living at home.
She just needs to get out.
It's really awful. And she really does think the next relationship she gets into, she's going to find a way to make it work regardless because she wants to have her own space. And that has a motivating factor already sets you up for a tunnel. So
yeah,
a lot of what you project on that kind of person, right? So if I want to do something, and Fekir and I always laugh about this type of thing. If you want to do something, no matter the situation, you twist it to get to that.
To get to the way to that you end. To go.
So if I want to fight with Fekemi, if she is like, Jola, I'm running late. I'm like, hey, now, she doesn't respect my time. If she's like, oh, can we go to another restaurant? And she'll be, my opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You start to twist. So all the things that you thought he was before, what has changed? Do you understand what I mean? Now that you no longer have the weight of that home trauma, your eye has cleared. Your eye has cleared. The thing about courage to leave a marriage is, to me, as somebody who is deeply unmarried.
Yeah, so I was just going to say that. Yeah. Obviously, we know
the wealth of knowledge about
the thing
marriage.
What's crazy is we know what it takes to leave a marriage. Having never been in one.
But I do think that this is one of those things that you can't find it anywhere.
You can't.
It is 1,000,000% up to you. You have your two children and there's you. So you need to think of what are the ramifications socially and can you handle them? So a lot of people talk about doing like making big decisions, but they know that what is holding them back is the fact that quite frankly, they're just not.
You're not ready for the adjustment.
For the adjustment socially. Are you ready to, what will people say? Is that something that would bother you? You said he doesn't really give you money, but have you done the math of living in a home where you guys share responsibility to some degree? Have you thought about what it would be like being solely responsible for your children and what that means?
Because, and like, obviously, the thing is, even with people who are, like you said, he's emotionally and physically unavailable, you're just, there's a familiarity that is my, I guess my thing is just, you have to be ready for the change. And it's going to be like in big ways and in very little ways. But do you know, I don't know. At the same time, I feel like, again, I don't know the gravity of this decision. It's not a decision that I've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I do know people who have made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember asking one of my friends, and she was just like, the thing about it that was crazy was, she thought it was a huge thing. Obviously, leaving a marriage is a huge thing. And yeah, there's like a lot of peeling back you have to do. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of stuff. But she was like, the thing is, the decision was actually a very small.
Simple.
It was a very small
interesting
thing. Because she was just like,
did she have kids?
Yes. Okay. For her, she just got to a point where, and it took a while. So she wanted to leave for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't leave until... I was like, so what happened? She's like, nothing happened. She just realized one day and she was just like, I've got to a point where I cannot see any way forward in this place. Like, I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she almost felt like she could not breathe. And you don't have to get to that point, but she was just like, it just became a thing of almost life or death for her, mm-hmm. that like, I can't stay here anymore. And from then on, it was very simple. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, she was like, it was very difficult. But it was so clear.
To doing the untangling was difficult.
Yeah, doing the untangling was difficult. The conversation was difficult. Mm. But that the decision became so simple for her, where she was like, as in, this is my life. And I cannot do this anymore. Mm. And so she was like, okay,
yeah,
let's be doing this one at a time. She had a conversation with him, difficult. Everybody was crying. Children sorting out, difficult. Parents, difficult. So she was like, it's very hard, though. But once you are clear on like, no, I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I can do. So I don't know. Honestly, I don't know that it is a thing where you're going to feel super courageous mm-hmm. and be like, you know what? Today, I feel 100% confident in my decision and all mm-hmm. that. I think you just have to get to a point where it's no longer feasible for you to, mm-hmm. to like, you just have to decide how you want your life to be. And mm-hmm. I think you're already close to the point where you know that there's nothing here for you anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just how much time are you willing to continue to stay in mm-hmm. a situation that is fundamentally not
yeah. working. I mean, my mom and I were talking about like divorce and separation and all that. And she's very Christian, very pastor's wife. So we had differences in opinion. But one thing she did say to me is that she knows that we feel very strongly about like a woman's happiness and all that. But as a pastor's wife, she always gives one... She always will say, you need to be clear because you're making a decision that involves the children. You need to be able to say, and I tried.
Yeah.
And I tried. It's not that I did not try. I really tried. This person was just not cooperative. I tried.
Yeah.
And based on the fact that I tried, I did what I had to do and I left. So I think that you sit down and you count the cost. You always have to count cost.
Even not just like the cost of, we're even talking about all these things outside what people say. There's even a cost of, because even if you look at just leaving a relationship, there's a cost of the failure.
Yeah.
Like the burden of, ah, shit, this thing ended. Like I couldn't make it work or whatever that you feel as well, which for me is a heavy thing. And I think for a marriage, probably ordinary relationship that one has broken up with someone, you're feeling like, oh, okay, it didn't work out. You feel there's like a down.
Yeah.
You know, you feel down. So I think you should count the cost and then decide if you can afford it.
Is it fully a decision up to you? Can you afford it emotionally?
I don't think anybody can get you there.
Yeah, no. Definitely not two yappers on the podcast, for sure.
I don't think anybody can get you there. Nobody can tell you to leave. Nobody can tell you to stay.
100%.
It's you that knows what you are facing.
In there.
It's you that knows what you are facing there. And so, and look, I mean, I know people talk about the kids all the time. My parents got divorced when I was older, a little bit.
How old are you?
19.
Okay.
So it wasn't, we weren't children. So it wasn't the same. But I think even at that point, we ourselves were like, okay, seeing the, yeah, you know, it wasn't news anymore. So I don't know how old our children are.
That's small now. Because she's only been married for 5 years.
So it could be one or the other thing. Because what I would say, Sha, is that me, I'm much happier seeing my parents happy in general than together.
Fair.
So that's, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people would.
Before we get to the discontentment chat, I think there's something I was thinking about. You just mentioned seeing your parents happier apart. Did you ever worry that if your parents getting a divorce did your parents ever have like acrimony to the point that they were using you guys as like pawns?
No.
So because
my mom wouldn't allow it.
Of course. But I just wanted to ask that question because something happened over the weekend, right? Where somebody was getting married. You said, okay, you remember that. And apparently the gist of it really is that it's because there's a whole thing about his parents divorcing when he was much younger. And so his father felt quite offended that in the marriage part, she went as a representative of the family. So his dad was like, I'm not involved and blah, 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 blah. Do you know what my biggest issue is? Is I have never understood parents who see nothing wrong in allowing their personal gripes.
To mess up their children.
Not just to mess them up, but to actually like embarrass and hurt their children. It's different from just saying, you he publicly embarrassed his son and his son's
wife. Very, very publicly.
Because they had or have issues as parents. And what this made me remember is my mom had mentioned this thing in the past. And I remember being very, very obtuse about it because I come from a deeply happy home, actually disgustingly so. But I remember my mom has this whole thing about my mom is very afraid. She approaches divorce in a very wary way, even like advising people about it because she, and now I remember, I have to call her and apologize. This was years and years ago. She was talking about how, it's not easy on the children. And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, it's not that. It's when that she was trying to explain to me how sometimes just to get at each other,
you use your children.
Life becomes a thing. Particularly, and again, it was around this wedding thing. Because I remember her saying, one of the things she's super grateful for is how my dad's side of the family just didn't care. All they wanted to know was like where she's from. So my grandma went with her to her mom's village.
Right.
Because my grandparents didn't live in Nigeria anymore. But they just wanted to know like where her family... And she said she remembers feeling a bit awkward and a bit somehow that she didn't have the unit to present. And even like how some of the actions they would take were not with her in mind. It was about kind of needling the other person a bit. Because this is the only thing I have left to kind of hold over you or two. And now when I think about it, I mean, there's other stuff, but it's my mom's business. So I'm not going to say, but now that I'm seeing that, I'm not like, oh, shit, this is what
happened.
She was talking about. It's not it wasn't about her being like happy because it wasn't that, she wanted to be coming home, mommy and daddy are eating at the table. It wasn't that. It's just in the grand scheme of how our society functions, there are very many ways for parents' dysfunction to affect you.
Yeah.
So I remember thinking, do you know, well, in this instance, it's the man's family. But in the woman's side of the family, my mom has this thing about your in-laws not getting the idea that you are alone.
Yeah.
Or you are kind of like left like...
Like you don't
like
have...
Like they can try you.
You don't have backing.
Because your family is too busy infighting to be like...
What's going on?
We're actually
on
keeping an eye on what's going on with our child, even though she has married into a new family. There's all the other stuff, but that's something I was really thinking about. That where your spite for your ex-spouse supersedes your parental duty of care.
Yeah.
I just found it so...
I mean, you see it all the time. I think for me, I'm very grateful because my mom went out of her way to ensure that this thing is our problem.
Mm.
You people will not see it. And so there was actually a lot that we just, like, it was blocked. We just did not... You know, we were told later on, but we just, like, in the time it was happening, we were just prevented from seeing any of the, like, any of the fallouts. We didn't see it.
Just even that fear of, I've had friends who, their parents got divorced, and somehow maybe daddy decides that your mom has said she no longer wants to be with me, so I don't want to be involved with you guys. And the man has literally waited till they're getting married.
Yeah.
To constitute now, a nuisance. Because again, Nigerian culture, regardless of the... There's a big thing where a lot of families start saying, we want the father and mother present. And so your dad now has the opportunity, or your mom, to try and start making demands. And
destabilize things when they're not actually in your life.
And, you know, so mommy will say something. Daddy will say, no, that's not what we're doing. We're doing it. Because they know. And I find that deeply distasteful. I'm very, very hurtful and shameful. I think it's really sad that you don't regard your child's autonomy.
The problem with even this particular situation, the example that you gave is, I heard an audio of the father talking and I'm just like, the problem I have is you think it is your right to behave the way you're behaving with no regard for the consequence. Like it's, and I'm like, this is not a person. This is your child.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and you know, you saw people saying that's not the way to do it. And I just thought, what are we talking about now?
Yeah. I have a friend whose dad tried to pull the same thing. I'll never forget, he was throwing his weight around and he was really And we were younger at the time. And I remember I was anxious, like, ah, you know, what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. My friend has balls of steel. She told her husband, and I love you. Hey, yeah. If you can't call, because it was his family that really wanted it. And she was like, if you, at this point, like, this man is humiliating me, humiliating my mother. So if you think it's okay for your family, I no problem now.
Yeah.
The marriage will end, like this thing we're doing will end here. I'll give you back your ring. So sorry, we go our separate ways. Before the next day, he called his family, he said, hey.
We're not doing that.
Hey. And everybody, like, everything went ahead. And years later, guess what? Nobody gives a shit. Yeah. And I think sometimes, this is what everybody's afraid of. You know, and when people say all these things, it's not just about the significance. It's that the truth is that because of the power that parents have in African society, whether or not they showed up for you, whether or not they were a good parent, whether or not, when a parent,
they just have rights,
embarrasses you,
it's crazy.
It's very rare for people to say, but why is this person behaving like this? It's very quickly, no, as a child, you must respect. And it's just, do you understand what I mean?
Like, people always default to, oh, but that's the parent, the family. And I'm just like, there's can we please?
Yeah. I don't know. But that's just all I wanted to say about that. Hey, let's quickly talk about this discontentment thing.
Now, I guess my question is, would you say that you're content with life?
But, see, no.
My friend asked me, how are you? And I literally said, I realized that I'm actually very discontent. Because they're just, unlike before, there's so many areas of my life where this is where I want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where they are. And like, the gap is glaring to me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't have a bad life. So it's not about that. It's not where I am. It's the gap.
Mm.
And more, I find that like, I'm like concerned with the gap.
Mm.
And so when my friend was not laughing that, I said it and he just wrote, yep. And I was like, oh, okay, so you too. And he was like, yeah. And he was all like, do you think that this is just where we are now because of how things are? Like, do you think our parents were? And I was like, no, I don't think they felt it in this not way. This because I don't know what it is. Everything is just, and I can't put my finger on it. I don't actually think it's as simple as, oh, we can see everything, everybody. Mm-hmm. I just think it's different for us now. I think we hold ourselves, I know my own friends, we hold ourselves to such a high level of expectation that is now causing, is good, but it's now causing its own set problems, because like a lot of us are just deeply discontent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at where we are, it's not all bad. The problem is the gap. Yeah, like, yeah, this is fine. But when you put it in context of where, not just I want to be, where I know that I can be.
Yeah.
If I just said it to be a sensible person, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And this, I've been feeling this so heavily in the last few days. And I'm just like, what do I do with it? Because I don't know that it's producing
any results.
Yeah, I don't know that it's producing results.
You know, I told you, like, I opened a new journal around my birthday. And one of the things I wrote there was, like, I need to get a better grip on some of my negative feelings.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just discontent, but also there's something that I don't like. I can be a bit cynical, and that's fine. But I don't want to move into being scornful. That's a difference. So, like, where I regard different people and what they're doing and how they're choosing to live their lives in a seat of like, almost like disregard. I don't know how to explain it. And it's not something that is public facing, but being scornful of, and it's something I don't want to develop. And I realized that because I'm focusing a lot on what I don't have, what I haven't done, what I haven't figured out, a lot of those negative emotions they're on the tip of my finger.
Yeah.
So I access them too quickly.
Very easily. Yeah. And the problem that I have is once I get into this state of, discontent, it takes a crazy amount. And it is the tiniest of triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, and I'm just like, imagine this small thing tripping me up for most of the day. and I'm like, at your big age, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
But honestly, I realized, I thought that I was like a fairly like regulated person. I'm not I'm off the hinges.
Yeah.
That's just, because small thing like this, I have taken, my mind has spiraled it into this huge, like, massive hole of discontent. And I'm just like, hey, okay, what do we do now? Because it's not that it's not there. It is. Like, there is a difference between... And the problem I have is that normally, I think before now, what has been regulating it on its own is that it's different areas. So, like, this area is doing, you know, maybe, okay, friendships are great, or personal life is great, or career is great, and then you're discontent just in this one thing. Now, it just feels like nothing is where...
It's meant to be.
It's meant to be. And not by anybody else's standard, though. As in, not is meant to is where it's meant to be from, as in by myself, for myself. And I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, I think it's multiple things. I think recognition is just the first thing. Just knowing it is the first thing. But that also doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't.
Just because I know, oh, I'm discontent, that doesn't mean I've started fixing the
problem.
Like,
now I'm like, okay, I can name it. I'm like, I am discontent.
Yeah.
Then what?
Yeah, I don't know. I think... Well, maybe our audience can share stuff.
I don't know.
I think that would be great.
Yeah, I don't know what. Because people are always like, you know, contentment. And I believe that.
Do you know something that I think I want? I want to daydream less. Really? I think it's feeding into it. Yes.
Oh, no, it feeds into it.
So I'm not dream, not plan, not have ambition. Daydream. Where I move from, okay, I want... Let me use the podcast as a good example. This is what I said, we're going to do this year. And that is the dream. Spending time imagining what that would feel like and imagining how to get to it as opposed to taking the concrete steps. Those are two very different things.
Yeah.
And the more time I spend on, you know, maybe because I'm not happy with where we are at the moment, I want to be like, oh, it would be so nice.
Yeah.
And no more if we got this opportunity, it would be... What it means is that when I come back to my reality, I'm more annoyed.
Yeah.
And I feel more low. 100%. And I feel more somehow. And I think I need to apply that to everything. Because the daydreaming and the imagination is fantastic. But what I think it does, and I don't know if this is for other people, but for me, what I realize is when I come back to myself and my reality, I feel lower. I feel worse. Because there's a difference between the daydreaming and then the actual, like, oh, okay, in order for Fakemi and I to be able to do this, this is the work required. And so let's get to it. As opposed to just saying, do you know what, I'll be mad. If we do this type of show, and when we do the show, we get this kind of guest. Yeah. Blah.
But let me tell you where, email and where I get guest really, canceled. Let me tell you where I get really tripped up. So I know that there is, like, in life, like in every area of life, there is a level of work that has to be done. Let me tell you what really, really trips me up. Me, because I listen to a lot of fanciful things. Mm-hmm. Like, all the podcasts I listen to are about fanciful. They are everybody's up.
Yeah.
And so I'm realizing now that this was actually a heavy part of creating the problem for me, because everything I'm listening to is at the end of a story that has worked out.
Nice.
And I am not at the end of a story that has worked out. And so I realize that every day I'm feeling like discontent. The problem I have is not the work. The problem I have is when I see... I don't get mad at people who, like, they worked hard. I don't get mad, but I'm always like, but I know... situations in life that just kind of happen.
Mm-hmm.
Time and chance meets opportunity is just, that's the thing that drives me insane. Because I'm just like, you can't game that.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the difference between it happening for person A and it happening for me? Would the same work rate?
Fair.
I find that it drives me crazy because the randomness of it is just, you can't, literally there's no formula, there's nothing you can do about whether you want to call it grace, favor, luck, what you do, there's nothing you can do honestly to game that. Like, I know the fortune favors the brave or whatever, or, you know, luck is opportunity, all these plenty things they always say. Obviously, if you're moving forward, you're working hard, you're gonna meet more opportunities for all these serendipitous things to happen. But it's just like, how come I have not hit a flow state where even as I'm working hard, you know, things are also coming that I could not have worked hard for.
This brings me to a conversation I had with my dad a few days ago, who came to my room. I told you this. Yes. I told you about this. So my dad came to my room. I had a very interesting conversation. And one of the things he did say was, you know what? It's very bewildering how unfair life is.
Yeah.
But there's nothing as empowering as accepting it. It's the worst thing in the world. But it's not because... It's not about accepting that life is unfair and you're down in the dumps. It's that once you realize there are the factors that are out of your control completely, it helps you hyper-focus. That caller...
What's in your control?
He knows the things that are fully in his control. And My dad is very like laser focused on yeah. goals. And something I admire it about him 1,000,000%. Like a lot of the other stuff, sometimes like, because we have very similar temperaments. So I joke about some of his friends in finance and blah, blah, blah. And we say, man, ah, Jola, I'm okay, but that my friend is rich.
I swear.
You say, yeah. That my friend is, and you know, he met me in this banking. He met me in this thing. Hey, he met me in this accounting. And me and him will go on and on and on and on. And you know, my dad just said, well, that's life for you. And he'll stand up and he's not saying it.
He's actually not moved.
He's not sad. He's not moved. And he's just like, but because my life is fine. My life is not bad. And I think that's the thing. It's not because he thinks they are better than him or wait, he's better than them. But that's where I'm trying to get to. And that's what I mean by like not sitting down and ruminating on all the possibilities.
Yeah. Like, there's I wish I could leave that conversation
yes.
and be like, okay, but my life is fine. And,
but you
I never leave it. I never leave it. I'm always asking myself, okay, but do they have to?
Fair. I see what you mean, Sha. I see
so
what you
it's
mean.
Just, honestly, I've been finding it to be like a very recent development
yeah.
and a crazy thing.
No, but I think for me now is honestly, I don't live my life like I'm on reality TV. You know this thing of where even in your, where I feel like even in their privacy, people don't know how to be honest with them. So
yeah.
there's a lot of like posturing because yeah. like, why are you pretending? If you didn't say this thing, nobody would bring it up. But a thing that I'm trying to do is for myself is there are things that I realize there are interactions that I come away from never happy.
Yeah.
And I eliminate those because what was supposed to be inspiration becomes pressure.
Yeah.
I remove it. So I'm not trying to, there's something that I'm not saying, no. I have to constantly expose myself to it so I build up the tolerance. It's not if I don't want to build it up. It's just that so far, clearly, this thing isn't working. The tolerance is not there. I'm just upset.
Yeah.
So I'm learning stuff like I can't, social media is a highlight reel. I can't do that to myself all the time. Particularly when I'm seeing, because for some people, maybe some things are far. Let me say, I don't mind the far out ones. The one I
the
hate
ones are the close
peers. I hate it with my life.
See, I want us to be very honest. Do you know that I have no issue with like, you know, a story of some whiz kid in America that's 16, they're a billionaire. Okay, kilo call me.
Mm-hmm.
Good on you. Well done. When I hear that somebody I was in secondary school with, or one, no, please, as in, or one of my friends that like, as in 2 years ago, were acting a fool together, were out in the club, and I just see that they've just said in personal news. I said, hold on, we're made of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Like this is not, you're not. This is not far. This is inside my house. Mm. It's not close to home. We're inside the same. Mm. Then it is crazy.
Yeah,
then I'm like, okay,
I need to. Yeah,
because it's different. Because I'm like happy for you. Was my problem?
Yeah,
that's always how it goes.
The only other thing is this also happens to me when I haven't been. And I'm not going to lie. People are going to laugh at this. Whenever I start to behave like this, think like this. Also, when I start to behave foolish. I just start reading Proverbs. I'm not joking.
No, it's actually a very good
thing. It's a genuine thing. Once I start realizing that I can't trust my mind, my feelings are out of sync, I'm like, actually, Jola, you've not even been reading things that show you that you're not behaving too normal. Like, your wisdom is decreasing. It's coming down.
Yeah.
I start actually, like, reading Proverbs all the time because I'm just like, do you know what? This book is full of... And not even, you know, not just, oh, life is vanity. There's just a lot of stuff about how the things we're just talking about
yeah.
now. Time and chance and money and dreaming and hoping and working. And I actually start getting into it a lot because that's something I know helps me. And then I ask my mommy to pray for me.
I can't lie. I realize when these things happen is because I'm on some bullshit all the time. What I mean is that so recently, again, I'm casting myself public. Mommy, good evening. I know that this year will be so happy for Abby to hear this. Recently, I've been going to bed at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a crazy thing to do. It is a crazy thing to do. Because now what has happened is I've gotten used to it, but I am exhausted. When I say that I'm exhausted, yeah. right? I just feel like I wake up at the time I'm supposed to wake up because my morning shift opens at a certain time. And at that certain time that the morning shift in my factory opens, there are like 8 people that have to message me in the morning about, just to get clear on, this is what we're doing today. These are the results from yesterday. We just have to like, there's aligned. Like a period from like 7:45 to like 8:45 where I'm just, as in, there are things I have to do. So I have to be up. So it doesn't matter if I've gone to bed at 6. Or the other day, we saw on Wednesday, and I think I saw Jella at maybe 8 a.m. I hadn't slept. And you know, I thought to myself, do you know how insane it is that what is my problem right now is, oh, I didn't sleep last night. So the thing is like, okay, so now you do that, but you realize, okay, you're not sleeping, but then you're also not eating well.
So you can mean.
So because I'm not sleeping, by the time my bedtime is 5, when do you think I have dinner? Now I'm not eating well. I'm not sleeping. Now I'm tired during the day. So I'm not as productive as I'm supposed to be. Things that I'm supposed to do today, now I'm doing them tomorrow.
At midnight.
You know, I'm tired. So everything, I'm cranky. Everything is now like
out of whack and out of sync.
And so half of the issue is I'm better than this. I am.
Yeah, you are.
And so even me, I'll tell I'm you telling you, half are. Of it, I'm like, I'm actually better than this. But so like, you know, today when my stomach did start, the first thing I said was, okay, I won't see start.
Yeah, that's why I was just laughing. I know your stress levels because have been so high. Because the first thing
I
said was,
what time did I go to bed yesterday? 5:30. Okay, yeah. What do we want to say about it? Like, there's no medicine that can. It's common sense.
Yeah, like, even whenever, since last week, like, your stress level.
Whenever I talk to my doctor, she's just like,
okay, how can I help you?
I can't help you. She's like, why are you here? You know. I was like, are you supposed to say that to me? She said, no, I want us to be honest. Everything you are doing, you know now. You know. So the problem is, half of the time, I'm just like, is even. And it like a baseline irritation with myself because I'm like, okay, what are you doing? So this is a problem. I always see it. And then it's not a whole thing of like revamping because normally I'm very happy for people. So whenever I start getting somehow, I know that, no, there are problems in the works. Like and you know, when you look at something, okay, we're talking about this gap. Forget time and chance. We can't control that. I think it's that thing you're saying where the ones I can't control, I'm not done it. I'm not doing it now. So the problem I have is that actually, when you look at it, there's nobody to blame.
Let me give you an example just before we close. Because in case you guys don't know, we're having a meet and greet in a couple of hours.
We are.
So you have to get to step in. But what was I about to say? Shit, do you know that's sleep moment?
Okay.
That was great.
No, you're about to give an example
of.
I don't know. That was the last thing you said.
Well, you said,
let me give you an example.
Okay, yes, example of not doing all you know you can do. There is something I'm working on, and I've done this thing of getting ahead of myself and imagining potential results and already comparing results to the ones I can see, like things that people have done along those same lines that have been fantastic. And so I was like, I started to spiral a little bit, and I haven't done nothing. And then I remember that I was listening to something, and this babe spoke about how she sent 70 emails. She got 26 replies. Of the 26 replies, 8 were potential positives, and of the 8, she ended up closing 4. That is so insane, but it's just
it's less than 10%.
It's just that work rate. But she also was explaining how the 4 meant that she had to swallow her pride. When those 4 things closed, she ended up maintaining a really good relationship with all 4, because you don't apply for 80 of these things if you don't really want it, you know, for you to move with that kind of vim. But it meant that the other of the 8 that closed, the 12 or 15 or whatever, all the other conversations opened up immediately.
Because she closed
on those 4 and she executed at a high level.
Yeah.
Or like literally all the other ones that they were like, oh, they initially were like, oh yeah, and then those died down immediately. When she went back and she was like, hey, you know, I pitched this to you. I just wanted to show you what I worked on, and I want to let you know that I have tons of other ideas we could develop, blah, 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 blah. Immediately, everybody was like, hey, girl.
This is,
hey, girl. And I think just that initial, like, grinding
push.
And like working really, really hard and not being upset, just not getting myself worked up about all the other things that are not working is where I'm having the problem. And I've decided that, man, like I don't have much to lose. A lot of my L's are super private. I don't have much to lose by going at it and working really
hard. I'm the only one that will know. It's so funny you said it because I have a business that functions on this maths. And I know the things I used to do business development, like there is a funnel of things like this where if you're trying to get, I don't know, two or three things, you know that whatever the math is, I have to start with 100 and it's trickle down. But I don't know why still. It's just because it's so large. Because you prefer that you just message two people and then it clicks. And me, I'm always just like, okay, but what is... It's still going to get me the same result. So what is the blockage I am having in doing the 100 thing? It's just irritating. That's the truth of the matter. Yeah. It's irritating. You feel like it should be easier than it is. But I've also realized something like more recently, unlike I think maybe before in our parents' generation, to be really good now is at a higher level than it has ever been.
Yeah, because you're competing. You're always competing globally.
You are.
You're
to never be really good at anything, locally. Anything at all. Is a much higher level than it has ever
also
been.
Also, in our generation, there's less reward for attempts.
Yeah.
Rewards are almost solely results.
Like you tried.
Like it's not about, oh, you tried. Or you, this is a good
nice
effort.
One.
Yeah, this is a nice one. Like it's mostly like just.
Yeah. So, you know, these are the things anyway. So, yeah, hard work and all of that is actually, it's just. The other day, I was listening to something and the guy was saying, you know, one of these, again, my favorite types of stories. He had sold his company for 100 million. See, there's nothing I love more than rubbish like that. Because I'm just like, why am I listening to this? Anyway, and he was just like, people always ask him the secret to his success as if they don't know the secret to any success. And he said, let me tell you what happened. I outworked everybody. He was like, I want to yarn you something. The business he does, he said, today you can name 20 companies that do not like a version the exact same thing. He was like, the same thing that we do, you can literally name. It's like people making jollof rice. He was like, you can literally name 20 people you know. But the only difference was he was always like, look, anyone we can do. Because we're not different. Any small, like little extra thing we can do that is, he knows that people will not do because it's long. Those are things, he was like, those are the things we should be very good at. Because on a base level, we're all doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there's actually no difference. So he was like, literally, the secret of his success was how much him and Sim were willing to go out of their way to do things that most of the time do not really get any. They don't know if you're getting results or if you're not getting results. They just know that what anyone's doing this sort of thing. And so he was just like, the problem with like now, especially with, if you look at, you know, tech, America, Silicon Valley, is that people have always think that there's like a hack, like a growth hack.
Yeah,
and he was like, you can only growth hack the thing you did hard work on for it to, you know, you can't hack zero. So he was like, you have to first have done like a lot of hard work for all these growth hacks
to work.
He was like, the problem is most people think like the hack is the thing.
Mm.
Whereas it's like, no, you have to have done something there. Then you will hack it. And I was like, it's so funny because I know it sounds silly, but when people talk about all these things, everyone is just talking about
the hack
or whatever. Everyone has forgotten that actually there's just a basic thing of like, all this consistency showing up. That's the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And me, myself, I forgot this because I don't really try to do all these plenty hacks.
Ah, Fake Emi can calculate.
What?
If I do this, once I do this, it will change.
Look.
Fake Emi can.
You know that Aki and Papa thing where they just one thing, just
Fake Emi
one plus,
calculate.
You know.
Hey!
That's it. That's what I love.
Yeah.
There's nothing I love more than that. But at the end of the day, I'm just finding now that like I'm having to just be like, okay, I just need to take things more seriously. And if I know that this is like where I'm trying to get to, then there's work ahead. It's actually very unfortunate for this to be the conclusion of my matter. I promise you, I wish it was something else. Like I wish someone would just say, oh, super networking. You know what I mean? Super networking. then I'll just be out and about, just super networking.
Nah, so.
That's what someone said to me that, oh, the reason that, they mentioned a place in Lagos that everybody is going to, that the reason they go there is for the super networking. I said, okay,
the super networking.
Your mates are drinking champagne there. You should say, yeah, yeah, there for super network.
Sure.
So I said, which money have you made? Can we be serious? Which money have you ever made on that Friday? Are you crazy? Where do you think you are? I said, is it Coin Club Golf Course that they are making deals? Be for real. Let's rise up, you know? So
yeah.
Anyway, this is the lovely conclusion that we have for you guys. Yes. I don't know what you have gained today.
I don't know for them.
But you know, this is where it's at.
You know, I wanted to start doing something apart from like my own sister. I wanted to start having like a question every week for people.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be like a serious question. It can be a stupid question.
Okay, like what? Okay.
So should I tell you the question I have this week? Because sure. I don't have an unsafe space. My question this week is, what is a stupid business idea you have, but you think you can still make money? Very foolish and useless idea. Should I tell you my own?
Yeah.
I pitched it
yesterday.
Let me read it.
You wrote it down, Jella.
Mm-hmm.
God.
No, I pitched it because I actually sent a message to the person.
Okay,
like,
please tell
me.
I actually have one. Go ahead.
Okay. One sec, please, guys. Okay, so I started with, I have a potential business proposition. I said, my business proposition is an enemy annoyance business.
Oh my God.
So we will do no contact things to irritate people's enemies. Example, you send them glitter bombs, you organize irritating billboards, Facebook ads, etc.
Okay, I had a different one, but it's on the same premise of annoyance.
Yes.
It is actually a little sibling business. Like, that's the name of business. But the premise is for you to have an annoying discipline in your life. Okay, so for example, maybe you say that you want to just pick any goal. You want to be going outside every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you hire my service to irritate the shit out of you when you don't do it. So all you'll be hearing is, okay, now that you're inside, what have you gained? What have you gained? You just be hearing to, you are lazy. Anything, any goal you have in life. Okay, so you want to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've not written now, so what are you doing? What are you doing? This book now. Who writes it? Every 2 minutes. It's just, I think it's fantastic. It's to just annoy people into doing
what they're things. Supposed
yes.
to do.
I think it's actually phenomenal.
So that's my question.
I had one. The second business I had was a panel for outfits. So what would happen is every day there'll be like a Zoom call with just three random people. And you just say, how do I look? Ugh. I say, bros, are you sure? How about this trouser? Let's not go and change. That's all. That'll be the business.
Okay.
Not stylist.
No, just opinions.
On any given day, it's just three people.
I love that.
That would just, you ask them, oh, how do I look? And they say that, I think you should change.
Yeah, I love that. So, the question this week is, what is a stupid business idea you have that you're convinced can make money?
Yeah.
That's it. Anyway, guys, as usual, you know what to do. Like, subscribe, do all the things. What else? If you were at the YouTube event, yes, because by the time this episode comes out,
shout
it would have happened.
You.
Shout out to
you. Well,
we've already seen you and we hope you had a great time. And for the rest of you, next time, join the newsletter.
Peace and love.
Peace and love to you all. Goodbye.